Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat that's cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days, a 101-night sleep trial, and up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, Ghostbed is slashing prices, up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep, upgrade your life. Ghostbed, the coolest beds in the world.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There was probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Hey, everybody. Tim Miller from The Bulwark here. Tucker Carlson was on the Theo Von podcast where he discussed a number of things. And among them was his belief that potentially there is a conspiracy surrounding the Charlie Kirk murder and how we can't trust any of our governments or institutions. It was one of the many conspiracies he advanced. A lot of them related to Israel. I believe he mentioned Israel somewhere around 60 times over the course of the podcast. In this particular case, I wanted to dive into like a 5-minute bit from the podcast because there has been some follow-up from it. Tucker had to do a follow-up selfie video where he like walked back some of his, not, he basically didn't walk back anything, but he tried to make it seem like he might be walking back the craziest parts of what he'd said on Theo Von's show. But more important than that, it's that like, by going on Theo Von's show to advance this, you're sort of getting these crazy theories outside of even like kind of the MAGA media ecosystem to this broader audience. I mean, Theo speaks to like a huge mass audience, mostly of young men, but not entirely, of people who are like maybe a little political, maybe not. And having somebody like Tucker Carlson on there, because he's a compelling speaker in a compelling way, like making people think that they like can't trust the basic facts about a huge case like this, like his real implications. And so I want to break it down for everybody and make it as easy to understand as possible. I want to start here. Today, on the day I'm taping this, Tyler Robinson is going to make his first public appearance in court. And I think that as this trial goes on, hopefully the facts presented will help dissipate some of these conspiracy theories. But like, we don't even really need that because Tyler Robinson is the person that murdered Charlie Kirk. The evidence that he murdered Kirk is substantial. He was seen at the crime scene. He left his DNA on the towel that covered the rifle and the trigger. He confessed to the murder in text messages, on Discord, and to authorities. He outlined in his motive in conversations and texts to his roommate, who is reportedly also his trans lover. That motive was also cryptically covered in the bullets that he used. He, you know, had carved in, you know, in kind of this gamer speak, things like "Ooh, notices bulge," you know, which is like this reference to like anime characters that are furries that are like cross dressing or trans or that, you know, are dressed like women but have a bulge. So like we have motive. We have seen him at the scene. We have a confession. On top of that, he was identified by his own family. you'd think that his family would probably not be involved in some mysterious plot run by the French Egyptian Jews. It's an open and shut case. He did it. And these sorts of cases happen all the time in this country, more than in most other countries, certainly more than in most first world countries, because we have such easy access to firearms here, and there's so few regulations on firearms. So if you're trying to understand, like, why is this happening here? What is behind this? Like, what's happening here is that people get shot all the time in our country because people that are crazy or having a psychotic break or who have, you know, kind of developed, you know, these conspiracies, these motives about why they should go after a public figure. Like, it's a lot easier for them to get firearms here in this country than it is in other places. And so it's a lot easier for them to act on it. That's a lot less satisfying than doing yarn on the corkboard and doing a true crime investigation yourself. But, like, that's what's happening. So despite the fact this is very obvious, despite the fact this is an open and shut case, as mentioned, Tucker Carlson has smelled a rat. And he is open to theories being put forth by Candace Owens, insane theories that we're going to break down for you. And he shared that on Theo Vaughn's podcast. Candace and Tucker aren't exactly sure who the rat is. They've offered a lot of theories. Maybe it's a French rat. Maybe it's a big-nosed Jewish rat, or insert your other anti-Semitic trope that they want to nod to. Maybe it's an Egyptian rat. Maybe it's an inside job. But from their perspective, what they want the viewers and listeners to think is that we cannot trust the people that are prosecuting this crime. We cannot trust our institutions. We cannot trust our court system. We cannot even trust the FBI that is run by friends of Candace and Tucker. The only people we can trust are the podcasters doing their own investigations. And they don't have answers. They just have questions. Maybe we'll never find the answers. This type of attitude has done a lot to degrade our cohesiveness as a country, and it's going to get a lot worse. And so I want to give you this Exhibit A, which is Tucker on Theo Vaughn's show, and break it down for you. Here's the beginning of Tucker taking Theo Vaughn and his viewers into conspiracy town on the Kirk investigation.
Who was Charlie Kirk?
Yeah.
Oh, yep. Really?
No, yeah.
I didn't know that.
And I love his wife and know his wife well. And so I feel emotional about it. So, you know, I just haven't wanted everything to do with it. But I will say a couple of things. I don't understand the official story at all.
Assassination?
I don't understand it. And I want to make sure that there is a truly rigorous and honest federal investigation of it.
There it is. Tucker sounds reasonable at the start. All he's looking for is a rigorous and honest investigation, but he's concerned about that. As mentioned, why is Tucker concerned about that? His friends run the government. Like, Cash Patel and Dan Bongino, who run the FBI, were regular speakers at Charlie Kirk events, just like Tucker Carlson was. They all hung out in the same circles. The president of the United States, person who is ostensibly their boss, was a huge ally of Charlie Kirk, huge friend of Tucker Carlson. You know, the DOJ is run by Republicans. Utah is a Republican state. Why? Like, why is he concerned? In his, like, little follow-up video where he tries to backtrack on this, he's like, well, the FBI is a big sprawling institution. You never know who's, you know, hiding behind some corner over there that might be cooking the books. And it's like, on this case, on the Charlie Kirk case, some random bureaucrat is cooking the books? You know, this is crazy. All right, this is, like, how can anybody accept this? Like, if Tucker's concerned that they're not taking this investigation seriously, he should call Cash Patel, who he's friends with, and Dan Bongino and Donald Trump, and say he should take this seriously. If Tucker doesn't trust those guys, who does he trust? Could anybody do this investigation seriously? Does he trust the regular Utahns that are going to sit on a jury and decide this? You know, it is, the premise of this is one of those things that, like, seems reasonable at the beginning. I'm like, I'm just saying we should always ask questions. I just want a rigorous and honest investigation. Okay. Well, I don't see any reason why Tucker wouldn't think that he'd be getting one here. I could see why an anti-Trump person who doesn't trust Cash Patel might think that they don't trust Cash Patel. I'd understand that. And again, like, in this case, we're going to lay out, I think there's just a ton of evidence, and there are a bunch of, you know, local prosecutors in Utah who are just doing their jobs. There's no reason to believe they're part of some conspiracy. But, like, but why would Tucker not trust them? It's, if you actually press him on that, what is his answer? Maybe his answer is that he doesn't trust Cash Patel, and maybe we should learn a little bit more about that. Let's continue.
I think that one of the, I don't know many of the details, but I know that recently Candace said that Egyptian registered aircraft were following Erica Kirk, Charlie's widow, around for a number of years in different places in the world. That's one of the weirdest things I've ever heard. And I just want to say that that is factually true. Mm. That's true. So that's like the one data point that I happen to know is true. What does that mean? I have literally no idea. I can't even guess, but that's very, very strange.
And what is Egyptian? It could mean aircrafts from Egypt. Who knows?
I think that they were registered in Egypt.
Got it.
And so, but that fact is true. So I, that enough, and it also her claim that, you know, there were kind of a disproportionately large number of foreign registered cell phones at the event. That's also true. So what does that add up to? I don't know.
So here's Tucker. So Candace has laid out a bunch of weird conspiracy theories about the potential people that are involved in a Kirk assassination. And we're gonna go through all of them with you. But Tucker proffers up a couple of them. And the first one being this Egyptian plane story. Tucker says he doesn't know the details, but he knows it's true that an Egyptian plane was following around Erica Kirk for years. If you believe that the Egyptians were sending a cargo plane to follow around the wife of like a mid to high mid level political figure in the country that has no actual, that holds no actual office and has no really influence or involvement in foreign policy vis-a-vis Egypt, you need to be in a padded room. Okay. Like an Egyptian military plane has not been following around Erica Kirk and Charlie Kirk for years. Okay. You don't know the details because it didn't happen. And if it did happen, if this is happening, if the Egyptians are just like following around the spouse of random podcasters and political activists in this country, that is going to require a very deep investigation. We should probably know a little bit more about that before you start popping off. The other thing he mentions here is that there was like a disproportionate amount of registered cell phones at the event from foreign countries. Like disproportionate compared to what? Like you have a baseline. Like you're just pretending like you know something about this. Like you're saying something that sounds like it might be a little spooky or concerning or eyebrow raising. But it's like you don't know. You don't have any expertise. Like what would those foreign cell phones, registered cell phones, be doing? Like this is just trafficking this area of implication. I'm going to give you this one fact about a potential shadowy figure, and that should raise doubt on the whole story. Like the story is very cut and dry. Like the fact that there, I don't even know. It doesn't matter if there were more foreign registered cell phones than usual there. If there were, who knows why that could be? Maybe because Charlie Kirk is popular and people that are students from abroad were coming to see him, right? Like this is nothing. This is not evidence. Okay, you can't, like, actual investigators and prosecutors are gathering real evidence here. Like, you're just bullshitting. All right. Now, here's where we get more into the kind of the Candace part of this specifically.
I just don't have a ton of confidence in the FBI or the men who run it. And I'm not saying that out of ignorance at all.
That's a scary part, too.
What Candace is saying is clearly causing a lot of turmoil. Is it true or not? I can't assess it. I'm not the FBI. I'm a freaking podcaster. But I do know how the system works, and it's really simple. The FBI has this case, and of course the state of Utah, it's their job to not only find out what happened, present it to the public in a way that restores some confidence that you can like have justice in this country, that we have functioning law enforcement. I don't have confidence in that because there's a lot of evidence that we don't have that. So restore confidence by being honest and telling a story that makes sense.
Now, here's a point that Tucker makes to Theo Vaughn, and that you know, if you're with somebody that actually is going to challenge you on what you're going to say, or that has some knowledge of the situation, or that has some experience in this world, I think you push back and you say you can't assess whether or not what she's saying is true. Obviously, what Candace is saying is not true. Okay, I'm just going to go through a list of the things that Candace has alleged could be responsible for the Charlie Kirk murder. We're going to have a couple of clips for you here that you can watch. We had a funny tweet from Eyal Jacoby that I want to shout out here, where he lists all this stuff out. Charlie Kirk was murdered by maybe Israel, a B cult, the Deep State, TBUSA, FBI, a trapdoor, Mormons, Britney Spears, Egyptian plane, Erica Kirk, the feds, Charlie's friends, Cash Patel, the Macrones, MK Ultra, military. It's not hard to assess that Candace has lost her mind. And if you don't believe me, Let's watch some of the clips. Here's one of them. Candace claimed that there was a underground network at Utah Valley University, and maybe Charlie was shot by someone who came out of a trap door that was behind him.
Now, I'm not implying someone, you know, popped up and shot Charlie, but that's a close up of that area. I'm just implying that there's an entire underground there.
And then we have the aforementioned Egyptian planes.
We received a couple of weeks ago a very thorough tip regarding Charlie's assassination and the Egyptian planes. Now, what is even more compelling about this tip is that this individual who works with or for government sent it before I had figured out that the Egyptian planes were tracking Erica and Charlie. What was the Egyptian military plane, which left Provo on the morning of Charlie's assassination, doing in Delaware?
And then we had the fact that Charlie allegedly told his security that he would die the next day. So they should have been prepared. They should have known about this. Maybe it was an inside job, Candace is wondering.
The night before he died, I know for a fact he messaged a donor and he messaged somebody at Turning Point USA. But I did not know, and this is what was told to me, that he also messaged Dan Flood, the security that's to his right, and allegedly explicitly said that they are going to kill me tomorrow.
Then we have her recent obsession. Maybe the French Legion was involved in killing Charlie. Let's watch a little bit from Candace on that.
The larger story here being, hey, the French Legionnaires might have been on the ground during Charlie Kirk's assassination. Do you mind answering yes or no if anybody who trained with the French Foreign Legion was on the ground on September 10th at Utah Valley University? And we are asking that explicit question because one of the strangest things is that the UVU students who attended said that they felt like they didn't recognize anybody that was there.
There was another thing Candace has had her eye on, which is that kind of this communist bee cult that was proliferating at UVU. I wish this was a joke. Let's watch this one.
There is some weird underground. It's like I sense like imminent danger is coming. And for some reason, I feel like there is an underground that has emerged at schools and it's like related to bees.
A few more of these. We don't need to go to the clips. Candace noticed that there was a lot of people wearing maroon at the event and then posted that she did not realize that the color maroon was associated with elite airborne operations. She accused a random man in a hoodie of looking suspicious because he was wearing a hoodie when the weather was warm that day. That very man tweeted at her and was just like, bro, no, this is me. I was just there with my buddy. We stopped by the event. We were on our way to get some food. Okay, so not the murderer.
Bulwark Takes is sponsored by Aura Frames. I've got a bit of a holiday gift-giving pattern. I tell myself this year it's going to be different, and then I will panic at the last minute because I forgot to get the more thoughtful gift, and I'll just buy a gift card. Well, this year I skipped the panic, and I gave an Aura Frame. They are an absolute hit among people at the Bulwark, and I am jealous of Sarah Longwell every time I go into her office because I see that frame right there. It looks so good. You can upload unlimited free photos and video. Just download the Aura app and connect to Wi-Fi. You can preload photos before it ships. Keep adding from anywhere, anytime. You can share photos and videos effortlessly straight from your phone all year long. It's perfect for sending grandparents their ideal gift, which is pictures of the grandkids. Every frame also comes packaged in a premium gift box with no price tag. For a limited time, save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $35 off Aura's best-selling Carver Matte Frames. It was named number one by Wirecutter. Use the promo code BulwarkTakes at checkout. That's AuraFrames.com. Promo code BulwarkTakes. This deal is exclusive to listeners and frames sell out pretty fast. So order yours now to get it in time for the holidays. Support the show by mentioning us at the checkout.
She has suggested that Charlie Kirk was betrayed by people close to him. Like, it is not hard for somebody with Tucker Carlson's deductive reasoning skills to assess whether or not what Candace is saying is true. If Tucker is confused and thinks that it's possible that Charlie Kirk might have been killed by somebody coming out of a trap door who is working with the French Legionnaires, who is also part of a communist bee cult, who is working with the people in the crowd that were wearing maroon, who is using an Egyptian plane as an escape hatch to get out of the state. Like, then Tucker is too stupid to be speaking on television, right? You cannot tell me that Tucker thinks that the Candace story, the maroon wearing B cult trapdoor Jewish French legionnaire inside job murder of Charlie Kirk is a more likely story than the Tyler Robinson story, which is that a guy who had a trans roommate slash lover was upset about Charlie Kirk's rhetoric on those issues and got a gun and then went in and killed him and then confessed to the murder and was turned in by his family. Like, one of those stories is an extremely straightforward story that there is a ton of evidence for and a motive. The other is the rantings of an insane person. Okay. And for Tucker to then go on Theo Von's show and say to the audience, like, well, it's hard for me to assess. No, like, you can assess it for us. Which do you think is more likely? If you're telling me that you're too stupid to assess whether Candace's theories are more accurate or whether the evidence-based theories being presented by the prosecution in Utah based on an investigation done by federal investigators who are public servants to this country, how do you see yourself as able to judge anything? Like, why would you trust Tucker's assessment of anything if he can't decide, you know, which is more likely between the Candace theory and the evidence and confession-based theory? Tucker can't decide that. How does he decide what clothes to wear in the morning? Like, how does he decide to know whether he can eat food or whether it, you know, might be contaminated by the French-Israeli assassins that are coming for Candace? Like, how do you get through the day if you can't tell the difference between something that is evidence-based and something that is just a wild-eyed conspiracy theory? Tucker can tell the difference. He's just pretending to not be able to tell the difference because he wants to stay in good standing with Candace, and he knows that his audience is attracted to the true crime, deep state conspiracy mongering. I'm going to play a couple more clips from this with Theo because, there are parts of this that get serious, and I have a little bit of I have a different view of Theo and his role here than I do of Tucker. And I want to talk about that, but just a couple more things about Tucker talking about Candace. Here's a classic Tucker trick. He's like, oh, the people out there, the establishment is saying, like, Candace is bad. And he's making fun of them for their critiques of Candace, making fun of us, those of us that have brought facts to bear and that have criticized and made fun of Candace. And he defends her, saying, like, it's just a podcast. We're just podcasters. How can you? Why are you doing this? Just using the old, we're just simple podcasters defense. Like, it's up to them to actually present evidence. Well, for starters, they have presented evidence. Okay. And number two, being a podcaster is pretty damn important these days, being a MAGA podcaster, because you know what the deputy director of the FBI's last job was? He was a MAGA podcaster. The vice president takes your calls, Tucker. The president apparently called Candace to ask her to chill out on her conspiracy mongering about the French First Lady. So you guys are pretty important. Like, the most powerful people in the world call you and listen to you for your advice. So when you go on a podcast, you're just like, I just can't tell. Was it the communist B cult that did it? Or, you know, we can't trust the actual investigators, the people that are doing their job for government salaries, working, trying to hold criminals to account. We can't trust those people. They might be part of a conspiracy. You should trust us instead. They're just asking questions podcasters. So you can't have it both ways, right? Like, you guys are either idiot podcasters that know nothing, in which case we should totally dismiss your opinions out of hand. That's the side I'm on, you know, or you guys are investigating something very nefarious and serious about what's happening inside our government. And, like, unfortunately, we live in a world where the latter is the case, at least with this government, because the president does take the views of MAGA podcasters very seriously, and he's given them important roles in his administration. So if you're going to be serious about it, then you can't do the whole, like, oh, I'm just a podcaster, okay, game. Like, that doesn't work for me. I want to play a little bit more.
But why do people like Candace so much? She's an amazing broadcaster, yes, because they sense in her she might be wrong. Is she lying to me? Not on purpose. They sense the purity of her intent. That's the truth.
There's a purity in her. She's not lying on purpose. I just like, he knows Candace, I don't. If there is a purity in her and she's not lying on purpose, she needs help. And as a friend, you should be able to get her help. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in, with Theo's relationship with her. But like this idea that Candace is not lying on purpose, like, okay, it seems like she's lying on purpose. She's either an utter moron who's so deranged that she's like accusing random guys, you know, walking through the quad at UVU to go to the cafeteria to get their Chick-fil-A of being, you know, involved in a murder plot with the French Legionnaires. Okay, either she believes that and is totally deranged, like, or she is lying on purpose. And so I don't think we should just dismiss that out of hand and be like, oh, hey, listeners, we all should be sympathetic to her. And, you know, I'm the good guy for talking about how she's a pure of heart person. No, if it is true that she's a pure of heart person and you're a good person, you need to help her. Otherwise, I'm going to side on the side of that she's lying on purpose because these lies are too stupid to be believed. One more clip.
And I can say, as someone who's dealt with government officials my whole life, I'm not vouching for everything Candace claims. I don't even know a lot of what she claims because I'm working on other stuff and it makes me sad also. But the point is, do I trust Candace more than I trust your average DOJ official? Are you joking? It's not even close, dude.
Yeah.
And here's how we bring it back full circle again. Do I trust Candace more than your average DOJ official? Are you joking? Are you joking? Are you joking? Because of like the answer to that is it's so ridiculous to think you would trust a random DOJ official over Candace Owens, then you have totally lost your mind. You've lost the plot. And frankly, you're perpetrating an insult on good people who are doing good work and serving the country. Well, you're trying to divide the country and undermine the country and tear the country apart, Tucker. Because most of the people that work at DOJ are people that could be making more money in the private sector, that are doing it because they love the job, because they care about the country, because they want to do important work. And to them, important work is going after bad guys who are harming the country, who are harming individuals, who are doing sex trafficking, who are complicit in violent crimes, who are defrauding the country, thieving from us. People that work at the DOJ are folks that take their job seriously, that base their indictments on evidence and facts and truth. They are patriots, and they deserve our respect. Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson are lying frauds, okay, who are trying to harm the country and undermine the country. I think the pushback to this is, we trust the average DOJ officials. Are there some people in DOJ who have used bad judgment over the course of the year? Sure. Are there people that go into the Justice Department for bad reasons or whatever? Yeah, absolutely. Like, yeah, in any group, they're going to be bad apples, okay? But for the most part, random people at the DOJ, career prosecutors, have sacrificed for our country and our public servants. If they do their job poorly, if they don't gather compelling evidence, or, you know, God forbid, if they faked the evidence or defrauded, they're held accountable. They're held accountable by the judge in Utah. They're held accountable by the jury that is going to review the evidence. They're held accountable by the defense counsel, Tyler Robinson's defense, whose job it is to poke holes in the case that they have presented. Okay. They are serious people that are trying to hold this young man that assassinated Charlie Kirk accountable, and good on him. The idea that their work is less serious or less rigorous than the fucking rantings of Tucker and Candace and the maroon shirts and the communist bees and the Egyptian plane and the Jews and the French and the transgendered French first lady who's secretly a man. What? None of that is rigorous. None of that would pass muster with a jury. None of that would pass muster with a judge. A defense counsel would run Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson out of the building, and the murderer of Charlie Kirk would go free. This stuff gets thrown out there, and people are like, oh, it's just rhetoric. It's like, you know, actually, no. If Tucker's going on one of the biggest podcasts in the world and make a statement like that, where he mocks the idea that we should trust a DOJ official over Candace, actually, that contrast should be explored more clearly. Because people that are viewing that, Theo himself, a lot of these don't have experience with the justice system. They don't realize the level of rigor that goes into putting forth a prosecution against somebody. Does that mean that, like, over the tens of thousands of prosecutions over the decades in this country, that the system has never gotten it wrong? No, of course. Of course the system has gotten it wrong. Of course there need to be reviews. Of course that's why there are good people, not Tucker and Candace, not liars who are preying on people's doubts and conspiracies in order to make themselves rich, not them. But there are good people out there, the Innocence Project and others that go through and review questionable cases and try to bring new evidence to bear. Like, of course. Okay? But, like, on average, in general, 99% of the time. Frankly, let's just be honest, it's not 99% of the time, because a bunch of times guilty people go free because the bar is so high in this country to present evidence against someone. And that's a good thing. That's how things should work. And so, like, in the vast majority of these times, like, the people that are doing the prosecuting, not the vast majority, nearly every case, people that are doing the prosecuting are doing so with good motives, based on evidence, based on the best information they have to bring justice. In the vast, vast majority of the cases, Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson are bullshitting you for clicks. So to answer the rhetorical question, do I trust Candace more than your average DOJ official? Fuck no, I don't. And if you do, I'm telling you, you're getting fooled. Finally, to Theo. I want to watch this together. I think Tucker is a lying fraud who's a danger to the country. Theo, I think, is a good person who, like, just is in over his head in a situation like this. So I want to play this clip of Theo talking about his relationship with Candace and be serious for a second and talk to him about the situation that he's found himself in.
Her kids are the best, dude.
I've known her a long time, yeah.
I go over there just to, like, see her kids. Sometimes I know that's kind of weird or whatever.
It's not weird.
But it's not weird. I don't have any children or wife or anything. So I go over there, and her kids are, like, as full of life as could be. And they're all mixed kids, and that's awesome.
So I love that story. I don't know. Theo seems like he's maybe a little embarrassed or something, but it's great. He doesn't have kids. He goes over there. He plays with Candace's kids. They're beautiful and they're vibrant. Like, that's great. Like, that's what a friend should do. I'm sure those kids are wonderful. But here's the thing, like, their mom right now is having a psychiatric break in front of the whole country. And a good friend doesn't, like, coddle that and say, well, oh, you know, maybe she's making some points, or maybe she's just under pressure. A good friend right now, somebody who cares about Candace and her kids, would go to Candace and give her a hug and say, you need to take a break from what you're doing right now. And you need to get some help. And you need to figure out how to get your life in order. Because what you're doing right now is having a total psychotic break in public. And, like, and let's just put it in the way of if Candace was not a professional podcaster, everybody would know what to do in this situation. Theo would know what to do. Like, if one of their friends, if one of his friends who's not a public figure, you know, was killed, and another person in the friend group, like, after that happened, proceeded to, like, start posting all the time their psychotic delusions about how that friend might have been killed by the French Legionnaires and alienated the rest of the friend group by saying, like, that they might have been involved. Who knows? Maybe it was the spouse was involved. Maybe his colleagues were involved. Maybe it was an inside job. No. And spent all day, hours upon hours, researching this and ranting about it and making insane allegations and alienating themselves from their friends and loved ones. You would tell that person that they need to step away from the computer and their phone. Like, they need to, like, remember what matters to them, you know? And like Candace Owens needs a, I don't know. I don't know if Candace Theo does, but I'm just saying that if like you're genuinely friends with her, what she needs right now is psychiatric care. And I'm not saying that to be condescending. Like that is what she needs. Like she believes that there are assassins following her and she's still going to Dollywood and going out to parties. Like she's publicly talking about how there are assassins following her. This is not healthy. This is not good. This is not good for her kids. And so I would implore Theo and Joe Rogan and other people who are in the manosphere who do not follow this stuff that closely to like understand that this is not a situation where it's like right versus left or establishment versus anti-establishment. And like, you know, there are disagreements of opinions and, you know, Tucker and Candace are making some points on the one hand and Ben Shapiro and Erica Kirk are making points on the other. Like, that's not what's happening here. Like Candace and Tucker are advancing absurd lies. They're undermining people that are doing real work to try to go investigate what happened. And by advancing these delusions and making more people, the millions of people that listen to them, think that there are these conspiracies out there where, you know, there are random foreign governments and deep state plots to kill people. Like, what's going to lead to is more death, because it's going to send more people over the edge. And more people who have access to firearms are going to go want to avenge these, like this imaginary plot that Candace and Tucker are convincing people is afoot. And so I'm just begging people in manosphere world to stop with this. Stop with this. Like, it is incumbent upon you to hold Candace and Tucker to account for these atrocious lies and to speak truth to your audience and make sure folks know that like ain't no French, Egyptian, Jewish assassins coming to Nashville. There was a young Mormon boy who was probably spending too much time playing video games, had too easy access to firearms, who was upset about what the clips he saw of Charlie Kirk and what he had said about trans people when he had a trans person in his life that he loved, and he went there and he killed him. And then he confessed to it. That's what happened. And people need to know the truth, because we can't solve any problems. We can't live together as a society if nobody knows what's true and what's false. So anyway, that's that. It's a long one, but needed in my view. Subscribe to the feed. We'll be talking to you all soon.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.